All right. We will, we're going to try it. We will take a look at resurrection, since that's the only thing that's been, we'll take a look at resurrection. Before we even do that, we just talked about diabetes. You know, it's a serious issue, and there's a lot of health issues. And we all are aging. We got Jerry, you're leader of the pack. Jerry's in 80, right? 83. And we just found out from Sherry that she's more mature than we thought she was. All right. But you know what? We're all headed that way. And look at 1 Corinthians. Paul says something about the Corinthians raised a question in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where some in Corinth had taught that there was no resurrection. And you think about even nature teaches us that there's a resurrection. You know, we look forward to the seasons that change. You have, you know what, the grass withereth and fadeth away, but it comes back year after year, season after season. The fruits on the trees, they wither off, they die, and they come back. These things that, you know what, that God has created this earth. And he's created this earth, and it shows us, it teaches us that there is, what? A resurrection. You just don't live in vanity. Where, you know what, well, when you're dead, you're done. But that's not the case. The scriptures teach us, and nature teaches us, that when you're dead, that's not just the end of it. I think Jesus said in the Gospels, he says, a corn of wheat, if it dies, it has to die first, and then it does what? It brings forth much fruit. Even the principle of sowing and reaping. You sow a seed, it has to die first, and then it brings forth fruit. So we have all these examples that point us to what? A resurrection. And you think about these bodies, they're on the decline because of sin. I think Ed said it last. We die because of sin, and they're on the way down. Romans 1 Corinthians 15, he addressed the Corinthians. He says, he says, moreover, brethren, verse 1, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that he what? He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's resurrection. He rose again from the dead. We'll just keep going. Verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. The resurrection. Did you know, before we get to these other verses, did you know that's the gospel? Yes. The gospel hinges on the resurrection. Absolutely. And, well, that's what Paul defends in this chapter. The things that separate us from other religions, everybody has a religion, everybody has a book, but this book, that's why he says, according to the scriptures, what happened? He got up.
Yeah, he
rose. And the thing that other religions talk about a crucified savior. You know that? Well, there's a lot of them. Pagan religions that talk about a crucified savior. But ours, he got up. And it was evidenced. It was witnessed. And this was Paul going through this chapter. He says, you know what? They saw him. They saw him. They saw him. 500 saw him. And I saw him. So he's saying, you know what? We have proof. You know, it's a lot of times, or you know, things happen and they say, well, it happened, but it happened way over here where nobody saw it. And you don't have any witnesses. But the scripture gives us what's called a preponderance of the evidence, where you know what? You build case upon case upon case upon case. Well, after a while, you just have to say, you know what? That's true. He did get up. And I don't have to be there. I don't have to be an eyewitness to believe the record. And we do believe the record, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Verse 11. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so ye believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men what?
Most miserable.
We hinge not only our life here on the resurrection, but our outcome we hinge on the resurrection. We have put all our eggs in the basket that has the label of Christ, because we believe the record that he got up. Mm-hmm. We believe that, you know what? If that's true, then you know what? This is God's son. Mm-hmm. And or it's God manifest in the flesh. If we're putting all our trust in this, I remember this was a while back. I remember seeing Jesse Ventura on TV. And this is serious. This is the issue where he said, I don't believe in Christianity. He said, that's just for a bunch of weak-minded people who can't handle the struggles in life. And I thought, wow. You know, I said, you know what? What if he didn't get up? What if this is just make-believe? What if it's a great story that somebody put together and we've all fallen hook, line, and sinker for it? That's it. Paul said, if in this life only we have what? If in this life only we have hope in Christ, then what? We are of all men most miserable. But now, I like that. Paul is he's the apostle, I would say the apostle with the big butt. He always has the butt there. He says, but now, what? Is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept? For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now that's a very important statement right there. He says, in Adam all die. The wages of sin is death. We die because what?
Sin.
But when Christ got up, he assured that all saved and unsaved, all men will get up. All men. Some saved. It's you. Everybody will have eternal life. It's just a question
where.
The destination. You know, you see the bumper stickers. Where will you spend eternity? That's a legitimate question. You know, you just don't. You know, it's not like a tree. When it's down, it's down. It's dead. Every man will get up. And in Philippians, he says, "And every knee will bow and give an account to the man who they followed." He says he become the... What's the first fruit? A first fruit means that there's what?
More fruit.
More fruit afterwards. Right? And all will get up. He says this. He says, "For Christ, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man after his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming, then cometh the end." Now we won't get into that right now. But the question, the part we want is that all men will get up. And for us who are saved, you think about when we get saved, why don't he just take you on to heaven? Why do we have to go through this life? He could say, "Well, once Lawrence trusts me, I'll just yank him on to heaven." That's where he's going to be anyway, right?
He uses us.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of those process words, resurrection, where, hold your hand there, look at Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 10. Not quite that far, but we'll start there. We'll start at chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians. He says, "And you hath he quickened." You know, what does quickened mean?
Made alive.
Or, if you had to give me a synonym, made alive. If you were dead and you've been made alive, you were what?
Resurrected.
"And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." If you were quickened, that was what? That was in the past. Right? After you trusted them. "Among whom also," verse 3, "we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." Sorry. Verse 6. "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are ye saved, and hath what? Raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." He quickened us, raised us from the dead, positionally, and he set us at his own right hand in the heavenly places in Christ. That's past. Did you know that you're resurrected right now?
No.
Did you know that?
Did not know that.
He says he has raised... If you read that, he said, "Frank, I have raised you up and made you sit together in heavenly places." But he's sitting right here.
Process was.
But his citizenship is in heaven.
That's he just told them he just did what? He just raised them up and put them there. Yeah. All you waiting for is like Enoch. He is waiting for the what?
Yeah.
The translation. He's waiting for that. That's all you're waiting for. He said that the reason he did that was he would show the exceeding riches of his kindness. He saves us and he gives us, you know what, an opportunity to represent him while we're here. That's why he doesn't yank you right on up there. He says, I want to show the world and the angels what my grace and what my love can do and how wise I am in my plan. And you're a part of that. We are a part of that. But if he didn't get up, we've trusted, you know, we might as well believe in Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny or the Tooth Fairy.
I do.
It'd be just, I don't know whether I believe him or not, but Frank said I do.
I teach my kids, when you quit believing in Santa Claus,
we have not followed cunningly devised fables, so we're going to have to disagree with Frank on that.
Okay.
But look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1.
Oh, Romans.
And Acts 26.
Romans 21, you said?
Right. Romans 21, Acts 26.
Chapter 1.
Right. Acts 26. All right. Romans 1. Paul's writing to the Romans, obviously. He says, Paul, verse 1, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power. How?
Resurrection.
By the what?
Resurrection.
By the resurrection.
From the Holy Spirit.
From the dead.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm proving to you that he's who he said he was, because he told Jews, he said, destroy this
temple,
and I'll do what? Destroy this temple and I'll raise it up again in
3 days.
Who can say that? Because he knew, he said, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. Who can do that? Not a man, not a mere man. So when he says, you all get up, who could say that's not true? Did you know the very fact that Jesus, our time frame, what is this?
Before Christ.
What is this?
After Christ,
after
death.
Anno Domini. After the year of our Lord, right. But our whole history is based on a man. A man who some say never existed. A man who some say he was just a good man, but he never got up. We're talking about a whole world of people who are believing in the resurrection of a man. Aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Job said this. He says, he says, though skin worms eat my flesh, he says, I know, and I know I'll see him
standing
in my flesh. Way back here. Remember when Mary and they said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Look at that. John, I think it's in John. My glasses. John.
Don't forget Acts 26.
Oh, okay. Thank you. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
Chapter 11.
Verse 23. Great. Thank you. John 11.
Or 21 is where she says she's in here.
Yeah, we'll jump through this chapter. Let's start at verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, John 11, 1. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha.
Where are we at?
John 11, 1.
Okay. Go ahead.
It was that Mary, which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, unto Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And his disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus, what? Sleepeth. But I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. That tickles me every time. They said, well, if he sleep, he's all right. He's going to be all right. I like this. The Lord is very plain. He says, then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest and sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, what? Lazarus is dead. I think that's just tickle. You know, he's, Lord, if he's sleeping, he's okay. And he probably looking at him, he's like, Lazarus is dead, dummy. He didn't say dummy. I added to that for effect. And he says, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. And you think about this now. He's already been walking on earth. He showed them that he was the Son of God. He has raised the dead in his ministry. He has cleansed the leper. He has healed the sick. He has done all the things that the prophets, Isaiah 35, that said he would do to validate who he was. Right? Mm-hmm. And he's going there, and he said, this is not for me. Obviously, it's not for the Lord. He said, this is for you, that you might, and that I might be glorified. Mm-hmm. He's saying, you know, I want you to believe. We'll find out. Look at verse 18. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the what?
Resurrection.
at the See, that's one of those things where when Ed said it's not what you don't know that's a hinder. It's so much that you know and that's not true. But this is true, but she's way ahead of the Lord. Mm-hmm. She's thinking, you know, if he had been here, you can detect, you know what, a little sense of disappointment where we know you have the power to do this. Like he doesn't have it now. You know, she said, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. And he says, your brother shall rise again. And she's automatically thinking, well, it's too late now. Because she's doubting his power. And he said, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. I guess maybe she made the connection. But he says, I am what?
The resurrection.
What is that? What does that mean? What is he saying, really? You know what he's saying?
He's saying, believe in me.
He said, I just don't raise the dead. In him was
life.
Power of life.
I have it. Mm-hmm. I am. You know, remember this, we talked about last week, he says, who shall I say sent me? And he says,
I am.
That I am. What? Resurrection? I'm that. Deliver? I'm that. King? I'm that. What do you want? What do you want me to be? He said, I am. I can raise the dead. He didn't say that. He said, I am the resurrection. Remember when Abraham took Isaac up to the mount? And the Lord said, take your son, your only son, take him up to the mount and give him to me. Your only son. Now Abraham took him up there and he laid him on the mount. And he said, Lord, he said, I see the altar. I see the wood. But he said, but where's the lamb? Can you imagine Abraham? He's thinking, it's my only son. I got to take him up there. You think he had any second doubts? Look at that. Genesis 22.
Probably had doubts.
Well, let's see.
Like he staggered moments.
Let's see if he did. Genesis 22. And Hebrews. Oh, I still got Acts 26 in my mind, too.
So where are we going?
Genesis 22 first, then Hebrews. Let me see. Hebrews. My Bible is just running out of Hebrews 11. All right. Genesis 22. Okay. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. 22:3. Genesis. Oh, he's okay. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and cleaved the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, very instructive, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder, and I will come back. And he said, you know what? And we will come again. We're coming back. What do you think he knew?
He was full of faith.
All right. He said, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father? And he said, here I am, son, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And there they came to the place which God told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar, upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called on him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh, you know what? The Lord will provide. You know what's interesting? He said, the Lord will provide. He didn't say the Lord will provide a lamb. The Lord will provide what?
Himself.
You know what? Jerry said, whoever necessary. What was necessary?
A lamb.
What kind of lamb?
Perfect lamb.
Perfect. That's why he said the Lord will. Way back here, he said the Lord will provide himself. You know, Frank said, well, who died? Who died for me? The Lord will provide
himself.
Yes. Himself. Mm-hmm. Behold the
Lamb of God
that
taketh away the sin.
Was sufficient. Not just any old lamb. Even back in Exodus, he said, you take a lamb, this is the kind of lamb I want. Without blemish. A male. Of the first flock. All foreshadowing this. But what we want is the resurrection. Now back to Hebrews. Hebrews 11. This is all, we say, prophesied resurrection, because this is not, a resurrection is not a secret. A resurrection is necessary. Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham. We'll wait a minute. Hebrews 11:17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried. By the way, just a little. Back in Genesis, it said that God tempted Abraham. Well, right here, he elaborates on it. He did what? He tried him. You know, you can clarify that, because the scripture says God doesn't tempt any man with evil. Wouldn't it be evil to kill Isaac? Wouldn't it be evil to kill his son? Well, he just told him, said, you know what? Down the line, he says, don't commit murder. But you see, well, God, you had them killed. And he says, no, you didn't read. You didn't read far enough. Chapter 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to what?
Raise him up.
Even from the dead. From whence also he received him in a figure. He said, accounting. You know what? That's like he takes this fact, and then he takes this fact, and then he takes this fact, and he takes this fact, and he looks them all down. He looks at it, and he says, you know what? From what I know about God, let's go, Isaac. He didn't have to worry about it. He said he was accounting that God would raise him from the dead, from whence he received in a figure. You know how he knew that? How did he get him? He got him. How did he get Isaac?
Supernatural.
Come on. How did he get Isaac?
From his wife.
How did he get Isaac?
God gave him to him.
You hot?
Through a promise.
Jehovah
Jireh. All right. I shouldn't do that. Let's look at it. Look at Romans.
They are before him.
Romans 4. Romans 4.
Make his work for it, huh?
It's kind of like the password plus, where, you know, I want you to say this key word, but it's so stretched out. You know, we used to play that game when we were younger, my sister and I, where you think of a word, and then you know what? You say, what is it? And then you guess, oh, you're getting hot. You're getting hot. Oh, you cold. You cold now. Okay, he received him in a figure. Romans 4, verse 18.
I'm looking.
No, 17. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Who is he talking about?
Abraham.
Okay. Before whom he believed. Even God. Who what?
Quickened.
What is quickening the dead? We just talked about. What did we say? Quick.
Resurrection,
right? Even God who does what? We can say, we can just replace quicken the dead. We can say even God who resurrects. Okay. And calleth those things which be not as though they were. Abraham, verse 18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so thou shalt thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now, just gave you the key words in this chapter here, verse. He says, he quickeneth the dead. And Abraham considered not his own body now
dead,
neither the
deadness
of
Sarah.
What did they have to do to get Isaac?
Nothing.
Just
believe.
What? Let me rephrase that. What had to happen to them to get Isaac?
They were quickened.
Resurrected.
They had to get what?
Resurrected.
Those bodies had to be what?
Resurrected.
Raised from the dead. Okay. Functionally.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Abraham said, I already got this in the figure. He said, look, if God could raise me from the dead to have the son, what can he not do if I already got him? Can he not raise him from the dead?
Sure
he could. That's why he said, let's go. And if he didn't fix him, guess what? If he did one time, he could probably do it again.
So he had an inside on this, right?
He had an inside track by faith. He said, I'm not That doesn't concern me. By faith, Abraham offered Isaac.
Imputed means.
Imputed means, he might have missed that one. Imputed means what? To put it on, to add to your account, to put it on your account.
It's almost like computed.
Computed, well.
Imputed is an accounting word.
Right.
And right.
Computers do accounting.
Put that on your account.
Imputed, right. That's like if you go to your bank and
word is almost there is what I'm saying.
You don't have any money and I just put it all in there.
I kind of figured for you. I knew what it was, but I was just talking about computed, how close it is to the word imputed.
Okay. So that Abraham believed the resurrection, mm-hmm. right? Way back here. And God has dropped little resurrection seeds all through his word for us. So how could one say that, you know what, there's no resurrection? In Acts 26, now we'll squeeze that one in there since we went all around. This is one of my favorite passages, and he said, this is Paul before Agrippa.
We're back to Acts 26.
We're going to get Acts 26 in here. He says, he's before King Agrippa.
Acts 26 what?
26 verse. You know what? We're going to go from 20. Yeah, let's look at 1 first. We'll just skip through here. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. By the way, they had, just a little background, the Jews had accused Paul of blasphemy, among other things, and he appeals. He appeals from Festus. Now he's at Agrippa, and he's pleading his case because the Jews they want to get him. They're out to get him, and he's before Agrippa now. He says, then Agrippa said to Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. Verse 7. He says, unto which promise, verse 6. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serve God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. What hope is that? He's getting ready to tell Agrippa. He says, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should what?
Raise
the dead. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And he goes on to talk about how he punished those people. And he gets over, look at verse, and Festus is with Agrippa, by the way. They're both hearing Paul. And he says, verse 22. He says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first. The what?
First.
The first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and unto the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. He said, you're crazy. What are you talking about? Resurrection from the dead? It's Festus now. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but I speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. I see Paul, you know what? On the sly, he's saying, you shut up. Agrippa told me I can speak, and I'm speaking to him. He says, I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. This is what I love right here. He says, for this thing was not what?
Done
in a corner. He says, you know what? I'm not talking about something nobody knows about. Everybody's heard about the resurrection. He says, verse 27, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Don't you love that? I love that verse. He says, I want you to be just like me. I think about that every time, you know what, when you have the opportunity to teach some people and you got a hold of this and you see how rich it is. And you know what? They say the same thing. You are mad. But you want to say, I want you to believe this just like I do. Because you know what? Paul knew something was in the resurrection that does. You know what? It lifts a man above his circumstances to have hope besides in this life. Doesn't it?
Absolutely.
And he said, this thing was not done in a corner. All right. We're going to, for time's sake, just flip over to 1 Thessalonians. All right. 1 Thessalonians, yeah. Stop in Corinthians 15, then Thessalonians, and then we're done. See? That's what I told you, Karen. It's too many roads to squeeze that in.
We can do part two next week.
1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. Paul says, but some, just talking to the Corinthians again, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest, thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Now, well, let's keep going. Time here. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beast, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be all changed. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Wow. That passage is so much in that passage. It's so much that I'm just going to stop right there. And you know what? You marinate on that. And wow, it's jam packed. So let's pray. And maybe there will be a part two. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we thank you that you've not left us to wonder what happens after this life on earth. We thank you to know that there is a resurrection, and because you got up, you have become the first fruits of those that slept. And not only that, but the first fruits of all those who shall raise or rise from the dead. Lord, we you know, we just scratch the surface of your word, but we know that as we study that you are able to enlighten us with just a verse. Lord, we pray that you would do that as we continue to look over your word. Lord, open our understanding, enlighten our eyes, that we may know what is the hope of our calling and what is the exceeding greatness of your power toward us. That same power that's in us that you raised Christ from the dead with. Lord, we just thank you for the privilege and opportunity to speak on your behalf. And we just pray that the word would have free course and it might strengthen us and edify us. For Christ's sakes, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Frank, you said something